How many of you had breakfast this morning? Had breakfast this morning. Did you have breakfast? Yeah, not on? How many of you had ham and eggs this morning? Nobody had any ham this morning? How many in the last week have eaten seafood? The last month. Okay, seafood, okay. My little sister, now this is probably 20 plus years ago, she heard a funny joke, and so she's pretty impressed with it. And we were all sitting around. This has nothing to do with the message this morning. Okay, but we were sitting around the table, and she asked, and it was an oblong table, and so the boys would sit on one side and the girls on the other, and that way, and my mom was on that side, my dad was here, so they could intervene during the fighting during the supper. Anyway, so my younger sister, she asked the question, "Hey, how many of y'all like seafood?" And yeah, and so she opens her mouth. So that's pretty bad. And it went right down here from there. So I know, yeah, that was pretty bad, right? It got worse. And you know, the jokes got worse from there. But how many of you like seafood? And I don't have any food in my mouth, okay? How many of you like seafood? How many of you like shrimp? Lobster? Shark? Scallops? Squid? Sushi? Okay. A little French white wine? Hey, there we go. There we go. He's got to leave for sure, yeah. Well, what's interesting, it's not really the wine that got everybody in trouble. It's the lobster, the shrimp, the shark. See, anything without scales and fins, you can't eat. So we're here in Leviticus 11 this morning. You wondered how I was going to get back to Leviticus 11, right? You know, yeah. That's right. Then, that's right. There you go. Yeah. We're going to talk this morning about what Israel could and could not eat. And the things that they could and could not eat, or I should say could not eat, you know, are extremely prevalent and popular amongst the world, and of course back then as well. Here in Leviticus chapter number 11, you're given what is commonly called Israel's dietary laws. If you look at Leviticus 11, verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which you shall eat, and so forth." Now, let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for the time to look into your word this morning. And we are grateful that, in fact, in the dispensation of grace, we can eat all things. And that your instructions to us is just to do it with a grateful heart. And we thank you for your scripture that we have this morning to read and study. And we pray for wisdom and insight as we look at this section that restricts Israel's diet. And that we would understand why it's here. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Okay, here, of course, we're working our way through the book of Leviticus in kind of large sections here. And this particular section, for those of you that have the outline, the next large section here we're going to be dealing with is chapter 11 all the way through chapter 15. Chapter 11 all the way through chapter 15. And there are going to be two major issues that we are going to deal with at length in this section here. First of all, is going to be, when I say at length, I mean I'm not going to draw it on, okay? But first of all, is going to be chapter number 11, and that's the issue of what they could and could not eat, their dietary laws. And then, as we get a little bit further, you're going to see a great deal of instructions about the clean and unclean people, and specifically details about leprosy. I mean, the leprosy in the person, in the house, and furniture, and bricks, and what they're supposed to do and not do. We want to try to make sure that we cover the details on those, because those are two critical issues in this section here, chapter 11 through 15. So this morning, we're going to read through chapter 11 here. And again, we want to read through on their dietary laws. And there are several questions that we want to ask about this. And probably the most important question, the biggest question, is why? Why does God separate certain foods as clean and unclean to Israel? What's God's purpose and intention for doing this? So we want to make sure that we answer that question this morning. And then we also want to look at some things in connection with the clean and the unclean when we get over to the New Testament. All right. So with that in mind, start with me again, if you would, at verse 2. "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth." there's going to be different groups of animals that they can eat. Okay, the first one is going to be the beasts. And let's look at what he says here. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. All right, of all the various beasts of the field, beast would be in the category of like cattle, you know, things like that, okay? And there were two qualifications that they had to look for to determine whether or not they could eat them. What were the two qualifications? One, it had to what? Part the hoof. And then the second one was they had to chew the cud. Okay? Now, first of all, what does it mean to part the hoof? Okay, all right. Such as, on what kind of an animal? A cow. For the most obvious is the cattle, okay? What does it mean to chew the cud? Yeah, Mike's going to demonstrate. Okay. Okay, you ever tried that? No. No. At least not on purpose, right? Yeah. Maybe if you have had acid reflux or something like that, but this is getting worse. This is going back. Okay. Now, question. Let's think about why would God... Tara, let's keep reading here and I'll come back to ask the question. Because we want, when God indicates, when God puts some parameters or restrictions on which animals can be eaten and not eaten, you want to ask the question, why those restrictions? Why those parameters? But let's go on, verse 4. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. Okay, the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. The coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he's unclean. And the hare, what's the hare there? What's that? It's like a rabbit, okay. Because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. The swine, that he divides the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. That's a really interesting verse. They want even to touch those things. And man, you fast forward over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all these various territories, they had these big swine farms. Remember that? All right. Why these two issues? Why these two issues? Let's talk about that one first. What's the issue of chewing the cud? How many of you were raised on a farm? Yeah. Okay, several raised on a farm. What's the idea of chewing the cud? Ruminating, but why? What's?
I think part of what they do is chew the cud, and then they eat. They go back and chew the cud to redigest it into another stomach.
Okay, they had multiple stomachs, right? So they would first of all, you know, gather it in the one, and then literally it'd go sit down, bring it back up, chew it again. What's the purpose of chewing it that second time? Completely digest it.
Further process it.
Get the remaining value out. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Okay. What's that? Yeah. So that's why we in Orange County don't chew the cud, right? Okay. So why do you suppose that God, in limiting what Israel could and could not eat among the beasts, why would chewing the cud be an issue to him? Why?
Part of it had to do with the disease, was part of it was a different animal, but I'm not sure about the cud part.
Okay. What's that? Okay. What else?
Identifying for one.
Okay. Yeah. What else? We're missing the obvious. Remember, who is Israel in relationship to the nations?
Separate, different.
Priests, kings. So what's this chewing the cud a picture of? Yeah, but what's it a picture of?
Getting the most
out of the what?
The resources.
Yes. What? And the Bible is often, the Word of God is often spoken of as parallel to what? Food. Yeah, the sincere milk of the Word, the meat of the Word. And so, exactly. And so what, just like that animal that goes and takes, you know, that takes the surface grass there and then goes, he sits down and he chews the cud. He gets, you know, he redigests it. He chews it to get more out of it, to get down. Well, see, the nation of Israel was to, quote unquote, chew the cud of the Word of God. They were not just to take the surface They were to take and study it and let it get into them because, like you've all acknowledged, they were separate. They were to be kings and priests. And they're supposed to take that and teach the Gentiles. Go ahead. Absolutely. You betcha. Meditate. To sit down and rethink that through. Okay. And then why divide or part the hoof? Why divide or part the hoof? The answer to that one is going to be actually in the parting or the dividing. When you divide something, what are you doing? Separating. God is separating Israel from the nations. Okay, so that's, he's saying, you've got those beasts out there, and there's some things out there that are characteristic that they do is representative of who I have made you to the other beasts, the other, you know, nations. See what's going on there? Let's keep going now. And you're going to see that this kind of pattern is going to go in all these categories. So look at the next one at verse 9. These shall you eat of all that are in the water. So now we're going to go, we can't just say fish. We're going to say those that are in the waters. Because there's more than just fish in the waters, right? There's other things that live in the waters that are not fish or are mammals or that type of thing. Let's see what they can and cannot eat. Verse 9. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, these shall ye eat. Okay, in this case, what are the two restrictions? What's the first one? Fins. And then, what's the second one? Scales. Okay, and that doesn't mean scales like you weigh. You know, it's, okay. The scales like you scrape off when you're trying to, after you catch them and you're going to cook them, all right? So let's go on and see what he says at verse 10. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers and all that move in the waters, of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. So such as, what would be some examples of things that they could eat?
They could eat a carp.
Okay, they could eat a carp. Why? Because it has fins and scales. What else could they eat? They could eat trout.
Any fish.
Okay, is that true? Okay, what's wrong with the halibut? What's wrong with the halibut?
Doesn't have any scales,
but it has fins. What's wrong with the catfish?
It has fins and no scales.
See that? So they couldn't eat any fish. But so the two qualifications, anything that lives in the water, anything that has fins and scales. So what again would be some examples, we mentioned two already, of things that lived in the water but did not have either one or the other?
Lobster.
Okay, lobster, shrimp, crab, whales, porpoise, shark, octopus, squid, all the stuff you see in all the menus out here, right? But calamari, is that squid? Is that squid? Yeah. And then what's the other one? That's
octopus.
Yeah, they couldn't eat that. Could they eat what are the little teeny tiny? In fresh water. Yeah, anchovies.
Crawdads.
Yeah, crawdads. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, yeah. Do anchovies have scales?
Yeah, anchovies.
Okay, then they could eat anchovies. Yeah, they could eat those. They couldn't eat any of the. They couldn't eat eels that live in the water. They couldn't eat things like that. All right, and generally people don't eat those things. What would be some other examples of things that they could eat out of the water?
Red snapper.
Red snapper. Good. What? Salmon. Yeah. Okay. Now let's ask the question again, just like we said on the beasts. Why? Why fins and scales? First of all, the ones I think of fins, that's pretty obvious. Why fins?
Direction.
Exactly correct. Direction, control, no doubt about that one. That's pretty clear. But what's this thing about scales? What do scales help fish do that have them as compared to fish that don't have them? It is covering. It is protection. What else?
It keeps infection from going.
Okay, that's one there too as well. So protection and so forth. What else? And I didn't know this until I was doing some research on this. I didn't know this. I didn't know if maybe some of you expert fishermen would know this. Scales, fish that have scales help them maintain their positioning in water that's flowing against the direction that they're swimming, which is kind of interesting. So you've got the direction going one way, and the scales help them maintain their control, direction, speed, etc., against the current, against the flow. I didn't know that. You know? And when I was doing some research, and I said, oh, that's kind of interesting. And now it's the obvious, right? Because Israel's what? Israel's got to go the right direction, and they're going to have to swim against the current. They're going to go against the flow is exactly correct. They're going to be God's kings and priests on the earth. And so their objective is to win the nations to understand the true and living God. So that one's pretty interesting there. Okay, so now let's go to verse 13. These are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. Okay. Now what are fowls? Yeah, we generally think exclusively birds, but you're going to find that they're not just birds. You're going to find that oftentimes the word fowls is used just for flying things. Not exclusively birds. See that? Most of the time when we say fowls, we do mean birds and that type of thing. And as a general rule, you're going to see in the context it does here as well. But you're going to see that the word fowl in our context here can also be used for flying things that also creep upon the ground. They have multiple legs. So keep that in mind then. So look at verse 13. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowl. So they can't eat these things. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, the vulture, the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind. You can see they're grouped together. See that? And the owl and the night hawk and the cacao, if I'm pronouncing that one right, and the hawk after his kind, so there's another group, and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl and the swan, the pelican, the gear eagle, the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat. Okay, so there's a group there. So they couldn't eat all those categories and after their kind. None of the eagles, none of the owls, you know, swans, storks, that they weren't supposed to eat any of that, vultures, things like that. So what does that leave? What's that? Okay, chicken, the obvious. What else?
Pheasant.
Partridge.
Turkey.
Geese. Dove. Quail. You bet. They could eat all those things, all right? Now, this one is not quite as clear as the other ones as to why the separation. But if you think about it a little bit, it's going to stand out. What is the difference in nature between a hawk or a vulture as compared to, say, a pheasant and a quail? There you go. There you go. Exactly. That's the difference here. Israel is not to be a bird of prey. They're supposed to be the meek of the earth to reach the earth. Remember, one of the offerings that they could come and offer if they were poor in Israel was the turtle doves. And I believe it's the Song of Solomon that talks about the Lord's eyes when He came, those eyes of compassion. It says that my beloved has dove's eyes, those eyes of those mournful, compassionate eyes. That's what Israel's supposed to be. They're not supposed to be like that hawk. And you know, a hawk or an eagle, they're majestic, wonderful creatures, wonderful birds. And boy, you look at them and you go, boy, powerful. But you know, they've got that beak that clearly is for tearing and ripping. And they've got the way that their brows are set, you know, they're like focused and targeted. And they're clearly an aggressor type of a bird. When you think of an owl, what is unique about an owl as compared to, say, a hawk? Because both are birds of prey, but what's unique about an owl? What's that?
Eyes.
The eyes. Good. What else?
The neck can go around.
The neck is, this ability to go around. And what'd you say, Joseph? Okay. So, silent. The big one is silent. All those things are right, but the big one is what? The silent. The ends of the wings of an owl, when you look, when they open up, and any of you that have been to, what's the San Diego Zoo or the Wild Animal Park, they go through the demonstrations, they show you. I mean, a hawk will come flying by over the crowd, and you can hear the wind. That owl goes flying by, you don't hear a thing. You talk about a stealth creature, it's the owl. U.S. isn't the first one that created a stealth bomber. Man, God did it in creating the owl. When that thing flies through the air, He leaves no signature. God doesn't want Israel to leave no signature. God isn't looking for Israel to be stealthy. God wants Israel to go out and reach the Gentiles and make it obvious. Isn't that fascinating? Let's go on now. Okay.
You should have been the opposite. I mean, that's in the logic. To get rid of those prey, eat those and
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, there you go. That's good. Oh, boy.
From the French mind.
From the French mind, yeah. There you go. Well, maybe he had his little wine this morning, too. So he was talking about his white wine. So, yeah, we're a rough crowd here. No mercy on the brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you. All right, now watch this. Look what he does now. Watch verse 20 now. And all fowls that creep, going upon all four. Well, wait a minute. A fowl, so it's a flying thing. So again, you can see in the context there, it's not limited to what we might think of as a hawk or a dove, right? But a fowl that creeps, going upon all four. Now, what is that?
Dinosaur.
What's that?
Yeah.
A dinosaur. There you go. Okay. A big one, a creepy fowl, you know. Yeah, what's a fowl that creeps going upon all four? Well, let's keep reading and we'll see one. Oh, what'd you say? A bat would be one. Yeah. And of course you can see it, verse 19, they were restricted, they could not eat bats. But watch verse 20 now. And all fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these, that is, these fowls that creep, you can't eat. These may ye eat of every flying creature, flying creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Okay, that's going to give it away. So now we're talking about. Look at what it goes on to say here. Even these of them ye may eat. The locust after his kind. So see, there's a flying creature. Beth, you've got a funny look on your face. You don't want... Yeah. Yes, but it flies. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. So why is it saying this? There you go. See, that's the clarification. When it says here at verse, which have legs above their feet. Yeah. See that? Now look at verse 22 again. Even these of them ye may eat. Okay, so they could eat the locust and after his kind. So anything in the locust category. Who, by the way, who did that you know?
John
the Baptist. Okay. Let's see. He says, the locust after his kind, the bald locust after his kind, the beetle after his kind. So what would be it in the category in June that you could eat out of that group right there?
June bugs.
There you go. So next time they June bug soup. That's right. Next time in June at our Wednesday night Bible study, when it's hot and we leave the door open, those things come flying in. Lori just won't have to make popcorn. They're crunchy. They're crunchy. Yeah, you'll stay on Pal Talk there. Yeah, they'll save it for Sunday. Yeah, those June bugs, you just eat them right out of the air. They come flying. Man, you just, you know, so yeah. That's right. Yeah. The beetle after his kind, the grasshopper after his kind. Okay. So those are the three categories of those kind of things that they could eat. Verse 23. And then verse 23. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet, shall be an abomination. So what would be some that they couldn't eat?
Bees.
What's that? Okay, bees. Good. What else? They couldn't eat bees.
Flies.
Not that you want to, right? Well, Mike had a thought there. Mike had a thought.
With the bee, I didn't get the distinction with the bee.
Well, because when he says at verse 23, but all other flying, creeping things. Yeah, the things that aren't mentioned in verse 22. So they couldn't eat bees, they couldn't eat flies, they couldn't eat wasps, they couldn't eat the mosquitoes, you know, things like that. What other?
Although they can eat us.
Yeah, there you go. They can eat us. What else? What else? Moths? Butterflies? Okay, alright, so keep going. Verse 24 now. And for these you shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even. And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. Just a real quick reference here. Several times in this chapter, if somebody did touch the carcass of anything that was unclean, they had to wash their clothes and they would be unclean until the even. Which, what's that? Anything that was unclean. Yeah, yeah. They would be unclean. They had to wash their clothes and they were unclean until the evening. Is my watch there? Let me just grab that real quick so I don't check. There you go. That's what I was driving at. Yeah, that's. You got to wash and you're unclean until evening. Isn't that interesting? It was the carcass, yeah. The carcass, yeah. Okay, now, think about this. Let me, and I want to mention this real quickly. It's several times throughout the chapter they were told, if you touch the unclean, you got to wash, and then you're unclean until evening. Unclean until evening. When did their new day start? In the evening. That's exactly correct. So they would wash with water, which was a type and picture of baptism, okay? And why this idea of unclean until the new day? What's that? The evening, that would be the, representing the new day. What's that? The kingdom, you betcha. Israel's good, they're going to be unclean. Now, think about, I mean, Israel, out there, they were an agricultural society anyway, so there were going to be all kinds of flying, creeping things anyway. So what was Israel's, what were they going to constantly be facing? They were going to constantly be what?
Washing and cleaning,
you betcha. Why? Because they were going to be constantly unclean.
The women are going to be washing clothes by hand.
Oh man, constantly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Something just landed on you, but if you swatted it, now you're unclean. So your mosquito lands on you, got to let them suck the blood and then fly away, right? All right. Okay. So let's move on here. Start with me again, if you would, at verse 25. Whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes, be unclean until the evening. The carcass of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud, any unclean is unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. Whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all fours, those are unclean unto you. So that would be an example of what animal?
Cats,
dogs, bear, okay? Whoso touches their carcass shall be unclean. He that beareth the carcass of them unclean, and so forth. Look at verse 29. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth. The weasel, the mouse, the tortoise, after his kind. The ferret, the chameleon, the lizard, the snail, the mole. These are unclean. So there was a lot of things that were obviously unclean. They could not eat. Okay. Go ahead.
What do they do with all the carcasses?
What's that? Of things that they couldn't eat?
Yeah.
Let the vultures get them. Let deterioration rot them and so forth. Don't touch them, is the idea. Which is common anyway. It's just common anyway. Out in the world, I mean, animals die all the time. Vultures get them. The various bugs of decay get them. If any of y'all have looked into some of the forensic science that they do, the way that they can determine how long somebody has been dead is by the age of and the kinds of the various maggots that are already eating their bodies and that kind of thing. Y'all came to church this morning to hear this, right?
What about something unknowing and stepped on a fly?
Then he's unclean. Until the evening. He's just unclean until the evening. What's that? Oh, okay. How does he know? Well, one of the things that would occur, we're going to read in chapter 16, is the National Day of Atonement when... You betcha. Yeah. Yeah. But that's a great question. What if they're walking along something and they step on something, they don't realize it and they just keep going, well then it's going to be taken care of later on. But if they step on the carcass of something, you know what? They're unclean until the evening. Okay? Yes. Yeah. There was a sin of ignorance as well. Yes. That they could offer sacrifices for. Yeah. Exactly correct. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they don't have a lot to begin with.
Yes, yes.
And then stuck me, of course. Who's going to provide their food?
Yes.
Where are they going to get
it? Yes. God will provide. And remember, too, where are they on their way to? The land. They're going to go on that land. If it's a land flowing with milk and honey, which it is, what else is there? All kinds of living creatures. All abundance. So these aren't so much the instructions that God has given them that they're going to just have to observe in the wilderness. They're getting these instructions during that 50-day period, right? The tabernacle's been set up. 50 days from there, they're going to move out on their way to the land. God's intention is to bring them in the land. Now what happens? They don't go in the land, and so they wander in the wilderness for those 40 days. What do they eat out there? Manna and quail. 40 years, yeah. Okay, what did I say, 50? Okay.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's keep going now. So you can see some of the things that they can't eat. The ferret, the turtle, the various lizards, that kind of thing. I remember my dad telling me that when he was a boy, he was, of course, raised over there in Belgium, and it was during the World War. And he said, you know, they just were constantly hungry because there just was not much to eat. And they'd go sometimes a month and they maybe could find one egg and that type of thing. And he said it was very common. If you're hungry, you're going to find something to eat. He said that it was common that they ate lizards and frogs and things like that. He just, you know, when you're hungry, you're going to find something to eat. What's that? Fried ferret? Okay. All right. Now, for time's sake, let me have you jump ahead for time's sake. Jump to verse 35. Look at verse... he's going to talk about the vessels that these things can be put in and carried in. Look at verse 33. And every earthen vessel whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. So, okay, of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean, and all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. Anything that touches something that's unclean, it becomes unclean. But watch the exception. Verse 35, and everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean, whether it be oven or ranges or for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean unto you. Now here's the exception. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean. Why? Okay. Renewing water. What is that a picture of? I am the living water. You betcha. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow living waters. Exactly. That isn't that interesting? That right in this of everything that's unclean, if you have water that falls on it, it's still unclean. But if it's a fountain of water, or a pit, a deep pit of fresh water, it's clean. Isn't that interesting? Okay. All right. Now let's jump ahead because we're going to run out of time. Go with me if you would to. Jump ahead to verse 43. Oh, by the way, look at verse 42. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all fours, whatsoever hath four feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth. So what would that be an example of? Reptiles, snakes, what else? What's that? Caterpillars, centipedes, millipedes, exactly. Okay, so they couldn't eat that stuff. You shall, verse 43, you shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean. Now watch verse 44. Four. We're going to try to answer the question now, why do this? Why did God do this? For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of beasts and the fowls and so on. So, why is God doing this? Why is God restricting Israel's diet like this and with these restrictions that we spoke about? Why? Okay. God is holy, they're identified with Him, but what does that have anything to do with animals that chew the cud or not? What does that have to do with the fact that I can eat a locust but not a bee? What does that have anything to do with I can eat a dove but I can't eat a snake? They're separated. How and why? What's going on here? Go to chapter 22. They're separated by His Word. Is exactly correct. Look over to Leviticus 22 here. And again, it's the obvious, and I know you know this. Look at chapter... What do I want here? Let me... I'm sorry, 20. Look at chapter 20. Look at chapter 20. 20, start with me at verse 22. 20, verse 22. And I want to get this in, okay? Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land... whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. One of the things you want to keep in mind with reference to the dietary issues is that those nations and the land, they ate everything. They just ate everything. All right. They made no distinction, no separation, nothing. They ate everything. And they did it in connection with the sacrifice of their gods. So that's, don't you go do what they did. Look at verse 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall, what? Therefore, put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Question, why does God do this? He gives Israel these instructions about that animal is clean to me and that one's unclean. That fowl's clean to me and that one's unclean. That creeping thing's clean, that one's unclean. I am holy and I'm telling you to be holy because I am holy. You're going to go in that land, and in that land, your very dietary laws is going to say something to the Gentiles out there about you. What's it going to tell those Gentiles? We are different. The God we worship is different. We do not worship your God. We do not serve your gods. Now, why would what you eat say that? When their next door neighbor invites them over to supper and everything, and they say, well, great, what are we going to have? We're going to have camel. The Israelite would have to say, you know, boy, I'd love to come over. In fact, I'll come and sit down with you, but I can't eat of that. Well, why can't you eat of that? Because our God says this. What does he care? What would that Israelite say? Exactly. It's going to give them the way they lived, right down to the very things that they ate, said something to those nations. And the reason it said something to those nations is because what those nations ate, they ate them in sacrifice to the gods. So the reason that God takes what they're eating and makes that distinction is to tell Israel, you are separate, you are holy, I am holy, and you're going to manifest in the very diet that you have, what you eat and so forth and can't eat, you're going to manifest to those nations about you that I've separated you, made you holy. Yes.
Does that separate ourselves?
The question had come up earlier, why when we pray in public do we pray, quote unquote, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or that kind of thing? As compared to a lot of times when you hear people pray on national television, for example, one of the rare times that you heard a pretty well-known figure pray in a major public ceremony here in the U.S. in the name of the Lord Jesus was Billy Graham's son at the inauguration of President George Bush. That was incredible. Because most of the time when you see public figures pray anymore, they just say in the name of our Savior, in the name of our God, so yes, the question that you asked is, and the answer is that we, especially in public when you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when those people hear you pray, and they do hear you pray, you're distinguishing the God you're praying to from the God that is just out there in the world. Okay? Let's move on quickly because we're going to be out of time. Now I want you to quickly go way over now to the book of Acts chapter 10. And I want you to see in Acts chapter 10 something real quickly now. Go with me to Acts 10 here. Do you remember what happens in Acts 10 with Peter? Yeah, look, you know, it's no wonder that Peter's kind of, Lord, wait a minute here. Okay, first of all, here in Acts 10, this is when Peter is down at Joppa and he sees, he goes down to, he's going to go down to Cornelius. Look at verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, I like him, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, as he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down from the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Obviously, these were unclean things, right? Else why the information? And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, this is one of the most interesting things in the book of Acts. when Peter, at verse 14, but Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." First of all, how did Peter know this voice was the Lord? And second of all, if it was the Lord, since when do you argue with the Lord? Well, I mean, of course, we do it all the time, don't we? Right? Not so, Lord. Not me. Okay, but, and I don't want to get into all that and not even all the detail, but understand this. When Peter says, "Lord, never have I eaten anything common or unclean," Peter is following strictly the instructions in Leviticus chapter 11. This is after the cross. This is after the resurrection. This is even after his 40-day seminar. This is after the ascension. This is after Pentecost, and Peter is still following these his instructions. Is he right or wrong? He's right. This is the first time here that he was ever given any information about that. You know what? I want you to approach this a little bit differently. See, this is an incredibly important piece of information in connection with the development of the dispensational program. It's clear when Peter says, "Not so, Lord, never have I eaten anything common or unclean." Peter is not wrong. And the Lord doesn't say back to him, "Peter, listen, I fixed that stuff way back with John the Baptist over there. I opened it up to the Jew and Gentile. I fixed it way back there at the cross, opened up to the Jew and Gentile." Not at all. This is an extremely important passage, but my purpose of going here was, again, so you can see the connection back with Leviticus there as to why Peter makes this claim. Peter is clearly still, at this point, following those dietary instructions. And one of the reasons that God made the difference, let me say this real clearly. One of the reasons that God made the difference between these various creatures, clean and unclean, one of the reasons God made the difference between Israel and the Gentiles was to show Israel that there was no difference. Think about it. Here Israel is going to be living among all these clean and unclean beasts. They were going to have a little bit of a difficulty because if they came across a dead carcass and didn't know and touched it, they became what? Unclean. So Israel was constantly having to deal with this issue of being unclean and washing, unclean and washing, unclean and washing. What was that a testimony of? Their need of what? A cleansing that could be a one-time, once-for-all cleansing. And that's also what who needed? The Gentiles. So all these details were saying to Israel, "You're holy, you're separated, but you're also not without sin. I'm going to redeem you, and I'm going to get those Gentiles." Isn't that incredible the way it all pans out together? So, all right, we're out of time here. Okay. We're into funny. Yeah. We were unclean. That's, yeah. We were the unclean creeps. Eat a dead fly. We were the unclean cleat. We were the creepy, unclean Gentiles. Yes. Okay, good. All right, well, we're dismissed now. We'll start again in just a few minutes here.